Well, good morning. Today is John the Baptist Sunday. So my question to you is, why is John the Baptist in the Advent story? What do you know about John the Baptist? What do you know?
Cousin.
He's a cousin of Jesus. Do you know how? I couldn't figure out either. Don't worry. I'll get there in my sermon. You'll get there. I'll see you. I can't figure out either. Anybody else? What do you know about John? He lived in the wilderness. What did he wear? Camel's hair? What else? What did he eat?
6 months older than Jesus.
He's 6 months older than Jesus. Yep. What else? What else do we know about John the Baptist?
He ate bugs.
He was kind of a strange guy, isn't he? Kind of a strange guy. Would you like to invite him over for dinner? Yeah. Maybe, maybe not. He might smell a little bit, I think. I don't know. What's camel's hair smell like? Oh, I don't know. Maybe good. I won't judge. Anything else you know about John? Well, turn with me then to Luke chapter 3.
He was excited before he was born.
He was when Jesus came and visited when he was just conceived, right? Or a little bit conceived? I don't know. Okay, that's great. Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 18. I'll give you a second to find that if you'd like. Luke chapter 3, 7 to 18. John said to the crowd that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' or to tell you, 'For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham.' Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowd asked, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Anyone who has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And what would you have, and what should we do?' And he said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages.' And as the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their heart concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire, so that many others, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." The good news to the people. First of all, who was John the Baptist? He was born 6 months before Jesus, as Darwin pointed out. He was a relative, a kinsman of Jesus. Jesus' mother found much comfort in visiting John's mother, Elizabeth, when she first conceived. It was the angel of the Lord who told her to go and visit your kinswoman. And she did, and found much comfort there. John's father was a Jewish priest, and he served as a high priest the year that Jesus and John were born. He was a direct descendant of Aaron and Levi. Jesus was a direct descendant of David and Judah. So that's why I'm not sure how they're related. Maybe Elizabeth is also a Judite. I don't know. If you can figure that out, help me out. John grew up, and then he started to preach. He didn't preach in your normal places. He went out to the desert, far away from people. And he began to baptize people. The leaders of Jerusalem were concerned about this. Who is this guy out in the desert baptizing people and preaching? So they sent the Pharisees to investigate what was going on. And they asked him, "What authority, John, do you have to be out here preaching and baptizing people?" Now, John could have said, "I'm a direct descendant of Aaron. I'm a priest. And priests have the right to baptize people." But he did not. Pharisees questioned him and say, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No." "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No." "Are you another prophet then?" He said, "No." "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, if you're not another a prophet?" And John replied with the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. I baptize with water." "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie." So who is this crowd? We don't know how big this crowd was. We do know the leaders of Jerusalem were concerned about it. And it couldn't have been one day or 2 days. It must have been quite a while that John's out here baptizing people and preaching for them to investigate. The passage points to two particular groups of people, tax collectors and soldiers. These two groups of people are interesting because they both worked, they're Jews, who worked for the Roman government. I can imagine there were some people not happy about them being in the crowd. But also in the crowd, there's probably some farmers and some shepherds, some merchants, some teachers, some domestic servants, masons, carpenters, bakers. There's some bakers there, Matt? Maybe some bakers. Cooks and domestic laborers. John calls all of them a brood of vipers. Dangerous snakes. Was this an insult? Was he trying to scare them? Did they come out to the desert to be insulted? Why do you think he called them a brood of vipers? Why did they come out there anyway? Perhaps he wanted to make sure, maybe he called them a brood of vipers because he wanted to make sure that baptism, they knew that baptism wasn't the only way, the only thing they needed to do to be saved. Or he wanted to test their resolve to change their lives. Or he wanted to share how he was feeling. William Barclay, in his commentary, said that the desert has these, it's dry, and they have these brush piles around. And every once in a while, a flash of lightning will light one up, and it'll start to burn. And one of the phenomena is all the snakes hiding in that bush would come flying out. And if you were next to them, it'd be a little disconcerting to be there and having all these snakes come at you. And maybe he was feeling like all the people coming out him day after day to be baptized were like the brood of snakes coming out after a brush fire. Maybe he felt the tax collectors and the soldiers coming out were the brood of vipers. Maybe he really wanted to level the playing field with everyone and prepare the way for the Messiah with a vivid understanding of where they stood. John did not hand out candy to its audience. He said, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" He did not think about God's wrath. I do not think about God's wrath very much. But John wanted his audience to think about it, and perhaps us to think about it today as well, to think how our sin hurts and angers God. The Pharisees did not ask John, what should we do? Because they thought they already knew. To them, he said, do not say you are a descendant of Abraham. Don't say you deserve salvation because of your family ties or your good works or how much money you give. He was saying that we all are like filthy rags and have the same standing before God. None. Tax collectors and soldiers are perhaps a good example of people who need to change. For it was the tax collectors and soldiers who asked him, what should we do? They have jobs in which there's a great temptation to exploit others. They had jobs that the average person would hate them for. I don't like the taxmen. We don't really get taxmen too much at my house, but I don't like them very much. And I'm a little weary of soldiers sometimes, too. I'm not sure the people in the crowd were happy with them being there either. For they were considered traitors of the faith to the people. They were working for an occupied pagan government, and John's message to them was clear. What did they want? Did they want to satisfy their curiosity? Did they want to justify themselves? We're good and God's going to help us? Or they really want to change their lives? John was very practical in his advice to them. He first said, be fruitful. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. But the fruit of the, and Paul in Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The crowd in general asked him, what then should we do? And John's reply was to love people, to bring joy, to bring peace, to be forbearing, to be forgiving. In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats, he must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food, he must do likewise. John's advice is share. The tax collectors came to be baptized. They asked him, teacher, what should we do? He did not tell them to go get a different type of job, which I find very interesting. He said, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you, and do not use your job to exploit people. In the kingdom of God, there is a place for good tax collectors. The soldiers came and asked, what should we do? And he said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. Be satisfied with your wages. That one hurts, doesn't it? These folks wanted to change their lives, and John was there in the desert to help them get started. What would he tell us? What would he tell a teacher? Teach students well and be fair in your grading. What would he tell a farmer? Farm well. Take good care of the field and livestock and offer your produce fresh at a good price. What would he tell a social worker? Guide and resource your clients well. Listen and encourage them each time you meet with them. What would he tell a merchant? Offer your customer fresh, well-made products at a fair price. What would he tell a doctor or a nurse? Heal and do not harm your patients. Treat them with respect and dignity. Your job is important for your source of income, and your job is important to God, and God wants you to do your job well. Advent is a time to think about these values and to change the way we think in our lives, a time to think about what's really important. John is here in this Advent story to prepare us to receive the gift of Jesus. It's easy, really easy, to become callous to the people around us, to see people negatively, to forget that they are God's and all people around, that he loves them. I believe God is calling us to see people the way that God sees people, not as a brood of vipers, but as the children of God. This Advent season, I want peace. I want to be around kind people who love me and who don't judge me for my mistakes. I want acceptance, fellowship, sharing, and respect. So I need to love people. I need to forgive people. I need to be giving myself. What do you want? What do you want this Advent season? Take a piece of paper. Is there paper in your little things there? Is there pieces of paper? Take a piece of paper. Write down what you really want for Christmas. I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. What do you really want? Now take that piece of paper, put it between your hands, hold it like this. Let us pray. God, I thank you for all these people and for the power that you've given them through your Spirit. And I pray that you'd use them this Christmas season to bring joy, to bring peace, to bring forgiveness, to bring love to the people around them. We thank you that you're our source of salvation, that your name is holy, and that you've come to govern your people as a shepherd comes to his sheep. And you call us your servants. You're calling us to give and to love each other and to share our resources with those in need around us and respond the same way with those who are in need. To look around and see those in need and to respond the same way. We pray for the folks around who seek to change their lives, those in need of salvation and community. Make us persistent in our ministry as shepherds to the lost sheep. Help us to reach out with hope to those wandering aimlessly in their lives. For you, O Lord, can bring joy. You can bring peace and comfort and love everlasting. Guide us, O God. Give us the words to say, the actions to do, and the spirit of acceptance that we need as we wait for the coming of your gift to us and to the world, Jesus. Amen.